On July 6, 2026, for tens of thousands of villagers living downstream from Liulan Reservoir in Hengzhou, Guangxi, it became a dark day that felt like the end of the world. At around 9 a.m., the reservoir, which held nearly 100 million cubic meters of water, collapsed. Floodwaters surged downstream. Several villages directly in front of the dam were instantly overwhelmed by the disaster. When the floodwaters receded, what remained for residents was a devastated landscape and deep despair. In Liulan Village, residents living on higher ground managed to escape the worst of the disaster, but homes in low-lying areas were left in ruins, with many reduced almost completely to rubble.
三层楼，有三层楼啊！
It was a three-story house. A three-story house. We had only moved in 2 years ago. It cost over 1 million yuan. It was swept away by the floods in an instant. Other villagers said that everything on the first floor was completely destroyed, with debris and thick layers of mud left everywhere after the floodwaters rushed inside. Some houses were washed away entirely. Some were left with only a bathroom standing, while others had only their foundations remaining. Many villagers are now afraid to move back in, saying the foundations have been weakened and no one dares to live there. More devastating, since the floodwaters arrived so suddenly and residents received no prior warning, many villages were buried forever by the relentless mud and rushing waters while they were asleep or desperately trying to escape. According to an official report, as of July 9th, floods across Guangxi had killed 39 people, with 9 others missing. The collapse of Liulan Reservoir alone was reported to have caused 26 deaths and 7 missing. But no further updates have been released. However, multiple local residents said that the actual death toll was far higher, reaching at least 4 digits, over 1,000 people, with some villages entirely wiped out. Recently, aerial footage showing a panoramic view of Liulan Reservoir after the dam collapse has circulated online. The footage appears to show a massive breach roughly 100 meters wide in the earth and rock main dam. While the dam didn't completely collapse, the erosion marks around the breach are alarming. The reservoir area has been almost completely drained, exposing vast stretches of mud and sediment. It's worth noting that Liulan Reservoir only completed a so-called safety reinforcement and modernization upgrade project in 2025 at a reported cost of 380 million yuan. Local water authorities had promoted it as a model project, but what's now being seen by the public is, critics says, a clear example of a shoddy construction project. As the disaster has yet to fully unfold, many are asking, why did a large-scale, medium-sized reservoir, one that had undergone years of reinforcement work, collapse within just a few hours? Was it a natural disaster or a man-made tragedy? An investigative reporter from Guangzhou-based Southern Weekly traveled deep into the disaster zone and, through an interview with Xie Zhijie, the head of the Liulan Reservoir service station, pieced together a tragic countdown of the final 24 hours before the dam breach. However, the tens of thousands of word investigative report titled "Liulan Reservoir Station Chief Discusses the 24 Hours Before the Breach" remained online for only 1 day before being completely removed by Chinese authorities. The timeline goes back to July 5th. According to Xie Zhijie, before the heavy rainfall arrived, the water level at Liulan Reservoir was still below the flood control limit, leaving some remaining storage capacity. However, by evening, the rain intensified suddenly and the crisis began to approach. At 5:50 p.m., the reservoir authorities planned to open the floodgates at 10 p.m. that night to release water and began sending notifications to downstream towns. It was at this point that the first absurd detail emerged. Despite today's highly developed digital communication system, some township governments couldn't receive flood control emails with attachments because their government mailboxes were full. Officials had no choice but to switch to WeChat notifications. This breakdown in communication at a critical moment became a warning sign for the following disaster. At 8:30 p.m., rising water levels forced the reservoir to begin releasing water ahead of schedule. However, concerned that the downstream river channel could not withstand flows exceeding the maximum safe capacity of 220 cubic meters per second, the reservoir initially limited discharge to between 50 and 200 cubic meters per second to control the rising water. Staff gradually activated 5 roller gates on the spillway, but only opened them by about 0.5 meters. The crisis rapidly escalated in the darkness. By 10:10 p.m., the reservoir's water level had surged to 105.42 meters, overflowing the top of the floodgate structure while the water continued to rise at an alarming rate. At 3 a.m. on July 6, another critical blow struck. The upstream Da Tien hydrological station suffered equipment failures caused by the heavy rain, completely interrupting data updates. At the most critical moment of flood control efforts, Liu Lan Reservoir became blind, leaving workers to brave the storm and rely on manual visual monitoring of water level gauges. At 4 a.m., a catastrophic mechanical failure occurred. Gate number 5 suddenly malfunctioned and automatically slid downward. Even after emergency repairs, workers were unable to secure it and the gate continued to descend. Shortly afterward, gate number 3 also failed, unexpectedly sliding down and closing on its own. Incredibly, at this life or death moment, with multiple gates failing and water levels rising rapidly, the reservoir still refused to fully open the remaining floodgates because it had not received orders from high-level water authorities. It wasn't until 5:07 a.m., after more than an hour of desperate waiting, that the reservoir finally received instructions to fully open the gates and release flood water. But by then, it was already too late. The dangerously high water level had created enormous pressure, causing visible vibrations in the floors and walls of the control room. The dam began to show signs of distress. At 5:50 a.m., gate number 5 completely failed and could no longer be repaired. Of the 5 floodgates, each designed to open to a maximum height of 2.9 meters, 2 ultimately became completely stuck shut, while the remaining 3 were also suspected of failing to reach their full opening capacity. At 6:18 a.m., facing the imminent risk of collapse, reservoir workers were forced to evacuate. At 6:48 a.m., the water level exceeded the safety limit of the reservoir's design flood level at 112.16 meters. By 9:20 a.m., the water level had reached an unprecedented 116.26 meters. Shortly after, a 30-meter breach tore open in the eastern section of the dam, followed by the collapse of 110 meters of the main dam. The disaster became irreversible. During those terrifying hours, the Southern Weekly investigation revealed an ironic detail. The reservoir's so-called self-destructing dam, according to the original design, an emergency spillway, was built next to the main dam with an earthen fuse dam at its entrance. Under engineering principles, during an extreme flood occurring once in 1,000 years, when water levels rose above the top of the barrier, the flowing water would break through this weaker structure, allowing emergency discharge and protecting the main dam. It was supposed to be Liu Lan's reservoir's final line of defense. However, reality delivered a devastating twist. Due to years of poor supervision by reservoir management, heavily loaded timber trucks were allowed to illegally travel across and crush the top of the self-destructing dam. The repeated pressure over time compacted the loose soil, making what was supposed to collapse easily become unusually dense, even harder than concrete. When the extreme flood actually arrived, the self-destructing dam remained standing, firmly blocking the floodwaters. With the supposedly fragile barrier now standing like a rock, the only option left were manual blasting or mechanical excavation. After discovering the danger, Xie attempted to request permission from higher authorities to blast through the dam. However, amid the torrential rain and communication failures, the reservoir didn't even have a satellite phone available to use in a life-threatening emergency. Call records showed that at around 9 a.m. on July 6, in the final moments before the dam collapse, Xie desperately called the mayor of Hangzhou 11 times in a row, but not a single call was answered. He tried contacting private excavator operators to break through the barrier, but they said the severe road conditions caused by the storm made it impossible to reach the site. At that point, the final line of defense had completely turned into a tragic failure. An even more chilling truth lies in the quality of Liulan Reservoir's construction itself. The aging reservoir, first built in 1958, underwent a major safety reinforcement project in 2009 that was heavily promoted at the time. As recently as 2025, the Hangzhou Water Resource Bureau continued to highlight it as an achievement, claiming it had undergone a dramatic transformation from a problem reservoir into a model project. However, revelations from insiders have shattered that carefully crafted image. The multi-billion yuan reinforcement project completed in 2009 had over a decade later still failed to pass final completion acceptance due to quality issues. In addition, a 2020 safety assessment report had already issued warnings. The reservoir's rainfall monitoring and forecasting system had long been out of service and hadn't been repaired. Some safety monitoring tasks could only be carried out manually, with the monitoring methods described as primitive and outdated. Faced with these critical vulnerabilities, the Southern Weekly Reporter attempted to contact the director of the Hangzhou Water Resource Bureau, but the calls went unanswered. Nearly 400 million yuan in upgrades ultimately resulted in a model project where floodgates failed, monitoring relied on visual observation, communication depended on shouting, the self-destructing dam had been compacted, and even final project acceptance hadn't been completed. When reports revealing the truth survived online for only one day before being completely removed, what's exposed was not only the failure of an engineering project, but also the indifference, blame shifting, and cover up within an entire bureaucratic system when facing a crisis. Faced with such a devastating death toll, authorities often attribute such disasters to extreme weather and historically unprecedented typhoon rainfall. However, German-based water resource expert Wang Wei Luo strongly rejected such attempts to shift responsibility during an interview. Analyzing the disaster from multiple professional perspectives, including engineering design, flood season management, and risk warnings, he stated clearly no matter from which perspective, the Guangxi flood disaster was a man-made disaster. Wang first pointed to the consequences of artificially altering large-scale geographic conditions. He said the reason rainfall from this event was far greater than forecasted by meteorological authorities was that the full opening of the Pinglu Canal had completely disrupted the natural watershed that previously separated the Qingjiang River Basin and the Yujiang River Basin. After this natural barrier that once protected the Yujiang River Basin disappeared, the massive amount of warm, moist air carried by Typhoon Maysak was able to move inland with little obstruction. Combined with terrain-induced uplift, it produced rainfall far exceeding historical extremes. This shows that large-scale human engineering projects can alter local climate and geographic conditions, often bringing unpredictable secondary disasters. Yet, relevant authorities continue to rely on all-terrain data models for flood forecasting and prevention. The more fundamental accusations, according to Wang, concerns a fundamental design error in the project. He pointed out that before the safety reinforcement work, Liulan Reservoir's normal spillway used an open-channel Ogeware design, with an entrance width of 100 meters and a maximum discharge capacity of 2,240 cubic meters per second. In theory, the entire reservoir could have been drained in just over 11 hours, giving it a strong emergency water release capacity. However, after the costly reinforcement project, the spillway was converted into a gated structure. A designed discharge capacity actually decreased rather than increased, falling sharply to 1,469 cubic meters per second. Wang said, reducing the discharge capacity from 2,240 cubic meters per second to 1,469 cubic meters per second, a decrease of about 35%, was a fundamental mistake. During extreme rainfall events, this would significantly reduce the reservoir's ability to quickly lower its water level and create storage capacity. Why would spending money on upgrades actually reduce safety? Such changes to critical engineering data lack transparency and are difficult to understand. Beyond the reduced engineering capacity, an even more serious man-made failure occurred in the reservoir's daily operations and profit arrangements. During the dam collapse, several affected residents angrily stated that floodwater release had been seriously delayed by human decisions because officials wanted to protect fish in the reservoir. According to Yang Dian Chen, a villager from Yunbiao town, the reservoir had already planned to open the floodgates and release water as early as 8 p.m. on July 5th. However, because the reservoir's water area had been leased to a private operator for large-scale aquaculture, the operator insisted on removing the fish nets first, then opening the gates to prevent the fish from being washed away. During this prolonged dispute over protecting the fish, the critical window for flood discharge was wasted. The villagers said, "This was a man-made disaster. I'm not spreading rumors." The fish farm operators said the nets had been removed before the gates could be opened, and they kept delaying it until the next morning. In the end, the gates were never opened, the net ropes snapped, and then the dam collapsed after 9 a.m. The village committee only notified us afterwards. Within half an hour, the water had reached the second floor of my house. Chen Jiawei, a resident of Liulan Village, also confirmed the account. He witnessed the devastation after the flood and expressed anger over interference from the aquaculture operators. This should have been a man-made disaster. If the reservoir had released water in advance on the 5th, it likely would not have overflowed. The floodgates were stuck there. The dam did not actually break at the gates. A huge breach opened directly beside them. Facing a disaster, the lives of tens of thousands of people appeared to be outweighed by the economic value of a few loads of fish. Behind this deeply absurd logic lies a broader problem in China's grassroots reservoir management: conflicts of interest and misplaced responsibilities. Although the law allows reservoirs to be leased for commercial operations, flood control authorities during the flood season should return unconditionally to the government. In reality, however, private interests can often override public safety. When reservoirs become tools for profit-making and safety reinforcement projects turn into opportunities for interest groups to divide up lucrative contracts, the collapse of a dam becomes only a matter of time. If the tragedy of Liulan Reservoir were merely an isolated case, it might be attributed to the negligence of a few officials. But the reality is that's across China. There are thousands of aging, poorly maintained, and potentially unsafe reservoirs similar to Liulan, so-called tofu dreg projects. They are like ticking time bombs hidden along rivers, threatening the lives and property of hundreds of millions of people living downstream. As China's local government finances have sharply deteriorated in recent years, local authorities have accumulated massive debts and struggled even to maintain basic administrative operations, let alone allocate substantial funds for the real maintenance and reinforcement of countless aging reservoirs. Faced with brutal choice of whether to protect the reservoir or protect downstream residents, local officials have often chosen a darker approach, one whose costs are ultimately borne entirely by ordinary people, releasing floodwaters without warning. On July 16th, a similar tragedy unfolded again in Yishui County, Shandong Province in northern China. Despite little rainfall that day, an upstream reservoir released floodwaters without warning, even submerging excavators operating at a construction site. Local villagers said they received no notification. The water level rose rapidly, leaving workers with no choice but to abandon their vehicles and flee. Shenyang, the capital city of Liaoning Province, was also brought to a standstill due to unannounced flood releases from the Hun River. On July 13th, affected by the remnants of a typhoon circulation and heavy rainfall discharge from the Hun River, Shenyang's urban areas entered what residents call a city-by-the-sea mode. Floodwaters submerged vehicles up to their roofs, major roads turned into waterways with depths reaching 1.8 meters, and urban transportation was completely disrupted. Videos filmed by local residents showed the Hun River running yellow and turbulent. The flooding not only submerged riverside viewing platforms, but even completely covered roadside bridge clearance signs. Residents in Shenyang expressed strong dissatisfaction online. The Hun River, Shenyang's mother river, is controlled upstream by the massive Dahuofang Reservoir. However, despite having modern weather forecasting system, the reservoir still failed to release water in advance and to create storage capacity. Instead, officials waited until water levels approach their limits before abruptly increasing discharge during heavy rainfall, causing severe flooding in the downstream city. Why do reservoir operators repeatedly refuse to release water in advance? Why have unannounced flood releases come a normal practice in China? The answer lies in deep-rooted systemic problems. The first is the conflict of interest. Most reservoirs in China serve economic purposes, including power generation and aquaculture. To generate electricity and raise fish, reservoirs must maintain high water levels. But to prevent flooding, they need to lower water levels in advance and create storage capacity. During periods without flooding, maintaining high water levels bring continuous financial benefits, while early discharge means economic losses. Driven by interest, reservoir operators often take chances and keep water levels dangerously high. More fundamentally, China's legal framework for reservoir flood releases contain a deliberate gap. China has various regulations on flood prevention and division, but there are no mandatory legal requirements specifically governing reservoir water releases. No provisions require authorities to issue warnings a certain number of hours before discharge. This is not merely a legislative oversight, but a form of institutional self-protection. Most large and medium-sized reservoirs are state-owned. If the law required clear warning procedures, then whenever flood releases cause downstream damage, affected residents could use evidence of whether warnings were issued to demand accountability and seek substantial compensation from the government. However, when authorities don't provide warnings, officials can later attribute the disaster to sudden extreme rainfall or forced majeure, and even deny that human-controlled releases contributed to rising water levels. Victims are left without a clear legal basis to seek compensation and are often forced to bear the losses themselves. From the 1975 Banqiao Dam collapse in Henan to the 1998 Yangtze River floods, the 2021 unannounced release from Zhengzhou Changzhuang Reservoir and the 2023 Haihe River Basin flooding the Zhuozhou. Such unannounced flood releases used to avoid compensation responsibilities while disregarding ordinary people's lives have become the darkest unwritten practice in China's water management system.